It is now the bottom of the hour. This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Emily Cureton. We move into our Vent Day segment now, which provides you listeners a chance to vent on topics in the news. We pick the topics. You provide the opinions. Here's Emily.
And this week, the topic is marijuana. The Federal Drug Enforcement Administration just decided to keep marijuana on the list of Schedule I narcotics. In theory, that's the most dangerous drugs. We want to know what you think. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. And Jeff, we've got plenty of opinions from our weekly survey.
Indeed we do. Now, what happened here this week was two petitions before the DEA asked for marijuana to be rescheduled, to drop it down to Schedule II drugs like cocaine. That would allow more research into its effects and give some relief to the states, which is half the country now, that legalized pot for either medical or personal use.
DEA Administration Chief Chuck Rosenberg told NPR last week that while he's aware of marijuana's relative danger, that's not the point.
Well, marijuana is not as dangerous as heroin, for instance. Clearly not as dangerous. But this decision isn't based on danger. This decision is based on whether or not marijuana, as determined by the FDA, is a safe and effective medicine, and it's not.
So there's the DEA's feeling about things, that marijuana needs to stay a Schedule I drug, meaning no medicinal effects, no beneficial effects from it. So marijuana not safe and effective medicine in the eyes of the Drug Enforcement Administration. How about in your eyes? 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email is jx@jeffnet.org.
Questions on the table include, when was the last time you smoked pot or used any kind of cannabis product? We know there's a variety out there now. And how has the criminal status of cannabis personally affected you? How do you think it affects us as a society? Brett in Port Orford, he wrote to us through an online survey, which is still up on our Facebook page and on our website, jeffexchange.org. Brett in Port Orford said, I was convicted of a Class A felony, think murder, rape, bank robbery, for, quote, manufacture, unquote. Brett describes 3 2-inch-tall seedlings in a coffee can that led to this felony conviction. We also heard from Andrew in Ashland through our survey. He told us about his experience as a criminal. Andrew wrote, I was arrested for a Class A misdemeanor, criminal activity in drugs, in 1973, the possession of marijuana. It made it difficult to find employment until 7 years had passed, and I no longer had to include it on a job application. Societally, criminalization has become an industry, robbing citizens of their freedom and money. That from Andrew in Ashland.
And Brett in Port Orford, they both said they'd used cannabis in the last year. Steve in Redding wrote that he's never smoked pot or anything like it, but in his words, the jail sentences have to go. Incarceration is a waste of taxpayer monies. Regulate it like alcohol and reap the taxes. Curtis in Redding agreed. Prosecuting people for cannabis is a ridiculous waste of taxpayer money, he says. What do you think? Call us now or send an email or find the survey online through the Jefferson Exchange Facebook page or at jeffexchange.org. Phone number is 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Mark in Redding, hearing a lot from Redding today. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. Yes, well, my guess is that the real reason the DEA refuses to reschedule marijuana is that they want to be able to continue civil forfeitures. They've been doing this. They're making millions of dollars doing civil forfeitures on people in this country. No trial, nothing. They just grab their stuff, their money, and then they have a they can sue to maybe get their money back.
Thanks for that, Mark. Of course, civil forfeiture, a very controversial policy where you can be not convicted but just suspected of a drug-related crime, and any personal property that you have that they can say is related to that criminal activity can be seized by the government.
That came up a few weeks ago in our discussion about criminal justice reform in America, also a Vents Day segment, where people from a lot of different places on the political spectrum are now saying that among the things they really would like to see changed in the criminal justice system is civil forfeiture, where you lose your money, you lose your car, you lose your house because you're suspected of criminal activity, which doesn't have to be proven.
Or someone in your family.
Or someone in your family. So, but the main topic on the table today is the DEA and marijuana. Should it remain a Schedule I drug? The DEA says yes, and you say what? 800-838-3760 to join the conversation on Vents Day by phone. Email jx@jeffnet.org. We also have a lot of stuff off our survey to bring back to you when we return to Vents Day in a minute five.
It's Vents Day here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Curitan in the studio with Jeffrey Riley. We are taking your calls and emails talking about marijuana today and the DEA's recent affirmation that it should stay on the list of Schedule 1 drugs, the most dangerous drugs in the federal government's eyes. We want to hear from you on this. 800-838-3760 to join us by phone. You can drop your comments off to our inbox at jx@jeffnet.org. We also have a survey up online. We put this up a few days ago, reaching people on Facebook and through our website, jeffexchange.org. Some interesting results there, Jeff. You know, the numbers may not be terribly scientific.
Because it is a voluntary survey, sure.
It is voluntary, and we don't require a login or verify people's identities or anything. But one-fifth of the people who took our survey said they'd never used cannabis in their life. So that was interesting. We did use the word cannabis and the verb used instead of smoke pot or, I don't know, ate a brownie, because there's an ever-expanding array of cannabis products out there now, including edibles and vapors.
About half the people who took our survey said they had used cannabis in the last year. Another fifth said they'd gotten stoned before, but more than a year ago, and one out of every seven survey respondents reported being stoned while taking the survey. What was one of the options we listed was, I'm stoned now. So one in seven said that, whether for comedic reasons or in actuality, we don't know. But where does this get to for you? When you're talking about marijuana and you think about the fact we've been having discussions about it, I'd like to say, it really got popular in the late 60s, so we're talking close to 50 years of discussion. But the fact is, the movie Reefer Madness and the jokes about that date back to the late 30s. So marijuana has been scheduled as a very dangerous drug. That's what it's called, Schedule 1, Schedule 2, and so forth for the DEA. And the DEA refused to reschedule it to Schedule 2, which would include less dangerous drugs that do have medicinal value, like cocaine. So, I mean, do you feel like, geez, what's it going to take to get the DEA to change its opinion? Or is the scheduling right? Is marijuana where it belongs, despite the fact that it's legal for either medical or personal use in half the country, half the states in the country?
Right. About half the states disagreeing, in effect, with this listing of marijuana. Interesting point in the news this week, Jeff. Yesterday, a federal appeals court banned the Justice Department from prosecuting medical marijuana cases if no state laws were broken. Now, this decision doesn't take the burden off of an accused person. They have to prove or have a hearing to show that they didn't break any state laws. But this is an interesting development in the controversial and sort of contested way marijuana is being dealt with in this country, where we have half of states having legal marijuana for recreational or medical purposes. And meanwhile, at the federal level, maintaining that it is on par with heroin.
Congress had stopped the Justice Department from spending money to prevent states from regulating the use or sale of medical pot, and federal prosecutors then argued that Congress only meant to bar the department from taking legal action against states. It could still prosecute individuals who violate federal marijuana laws. The appeals court in San Francisco says, no, don't take action against individuals either. So that's where things stand at the moment anyway. There's a good chance now that came out of an appeals court that'll end up in the lap of the Supreme Court down the road.
And maybe that's where this has to go to meet some resolution. I think many people were expecting a very different decision from the DEA earlier this week, thinking that they were going to soften their stance towards marijuana. That is not what happened. And that's what we're discussing here today on the Jefferson Exchange. Please join us, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. This segment is really driven by your experiences with criminalized marijuana. How has it affected your life? And also, how much do you partake? I read a statistic that 1 in 10 Oregonians actually use cannabis products.
1 in 10?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that was reported in the Oregonian this week when they were discussing or reporting on the DEA's decision to keep marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug. We got this comment from Katrina in Klamath Falls. Katrina in Klamath Falls wrote to us. She said, imposing consequences based on a concept of legality is never going to prevent mankind from finding a way to continue or benefit from marijuana. If anything, it may obfuscate the use and make its cultivation and use more clandestine, but it's not going to stop people from seeking it out. Personally, I think what society in general would be a lot better off if we looked at it for what it is. A plant, one that has many uses and purposes, from industrial to mild intoxicant to anti-inflammatory. The only effect legality has had on me, personally, is economic. The stigmatized way that cannabis is treated versus alcohol makes finding reasonable professional employment pretty difficult, despite the fact that on average, cannabis users are reliable and more productive than alcohol users. So that came from Katrina in Klamath Falls. Katrina also reported being stoned while writing that.
All right. That was one of the choices we had there, like whether when you've used it, how recently you've used it, and if, in fact, you are stoned as you filled out the survey. And again, 1 in 7 people said that. Whatever your current state of mind, we're going to assume at 8:41 in the morning, perhaps you're not partaking yet, but don't know about that. It's less about what you're doing at the moment than what your general thought is about general attitudes toward marijuana, where you have half of the states in the country saying it's okay to use for medical or personal reasons. And yet the federal government still says, no, it's among the most dangerous drugs, the Schedule I narcotics. Your thoughts on this Wednesday? 800-838-3760 by phone, email jx@jeffnet.org. Rika in Grants Pass, welcome to the exchange on Wednesday. Rika, you there?
Good morning, Jeff.
Go ahead.
I think that the DEA is basically telling us that Congress needs to give them direction. And considering Congress is controlled by Republicans, we need to talk to our Republican representatives.
All right. So the direction needs to come from Congress, you're thinking, to tell the DEA to go ahead and reschedule this?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for that, Rika. Oops, so you had something more to go there. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. I want to talk about how this has affected my life.
Go ahead.
The first time it affected my life was when I was attacked, or at least almost attacked, by a man with a knife while I was out walking. And I did not report it. I was 18. I was new to the black market, and I didn't want the cops to, you know, didn't want to talk to cops. And this is the first effect it has, is it really hurts the enforcement of laws that really need to be enforced.
Mm. Okay, so it's a broader field than just marijuana itself. Rika, thanks for the perspectives on that. Appreciate it. Vince, stay on the Jefferson Exchange. Marijuana, the DEA says it is still a Schedule I narcotic, among the most dangerous and least useful drugs. 800-838-3760 for your comments by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org.
Rika brings up an interesting point there, that by criminalizing something, all of the industry and activities associated with it also become sort of enshadowed. We did have some folks who responded to our online survey who were not of a mind that marijuana should be legal. Here's one from Bobby and Michelle in Weaverville, California. Disaster, they wrote in all caps, referring to Trinity County's relationship with marijuana. Then Bobby and Michelle in Weaverville, they rattle off a long list of problems as they see them. Quote, illegal felons by the thousands living on government and private land, killing all the animals and trees, clearing all the timber, stealing and destroying, no water in the streams, dead fish, toxins and poisons in the ground, tons of garbage and waste on the ground, citizens and people driving to and from work near grows having their lives threatened, people being tortured and killed. Beware signs on public roads that are chained off, forest fires, people losing their pets, possessions, and homes in these fires, volunteers badly injured, people dying. This list goes on and on. Growers may have pit bulls, unlicensed dogs that are aggressive, abused, starved, and thirsty, covered in bugs, left to wander, chasing the deer, ripping apart other people's pets and children. So a pretty apocalyptic image coming out of Weaverville here, from Bobby and Michelle, who say that's just a few of the problems. They also go on to list issues with sewage on the ground and vehicles that are not properly licensed and are dilapidated. So a whole slew there of environmental issues as well as social and criminal issues, Jeff.
And on the other hand, we hear from Brittany in Redding, who says society isn't affected by weed. It's 98% heroin and meth. I believe that weed is so useful in so many fantastic ways that the government is afraid of how much money they would lose. Marcy in Curry County said, I think the DEA should not be in a position to control the scheduling, considering the conflict of interest regarding their own jobs and budget. I also believe that big pharma lobbying has even more to do with their decision to keep cannabis in the same category as heroin, which is absolutely ridiculous. That from Marcy in Curry County.
Let's go to a call. Let's go to Patricia in Grants Pass.
Okay. Welcome, Patricia.
Yes, I think that this marijuana making it legal is just totally insane, because most of these people smoking it have small children, in the house, and these innocent children are subjected to that smoke that their parents and other people are smoking, and then it teaches them to grow up and think it's all right to do it. And also, what about the driving? I hear this ad on the radio every day about how traffic police are looking for unsafe drivers and warning them about marijuana because they could see a child like 10 feet in front of them. They might think that child is a block away and run over the child and kill them. And
all right, so a lot of concerns there about marijuana use, particularly around children. And secondhand smoke, not a lot of research into that so far. Something we'll probably hear about down the road, and actually we probably would have heard more about sooner, again, if the DEA had rescheduled as a Schedule II drug, because then there would have been more ability to do research on marijuana.
I think the impediment it puts up to research is one of the main criticisms we're hearing from legislators who are opposed to the decision. I know Oregon's Senator Ron Wyden, certainly in that camp, saying that we need to be exploring medical applications of marijuana. Patricia's comments, though, they were echoed by one of our survey respondents. Lori in Oakland, Oregon, wrote, it should not be legal. It's ridiculous that people actually believe it doesn't affect their parenting skills. It's impossible to be emotionally available to your children if you're stoned. The various consequences of legalizing it were not fleshed out, including the effect on unborn fetus, driving stoned, and you need better testing. All that coming from Lori in Oakland, who seems to be on the same page there as Patricia.
All right, another call here. Let's go to Pete in Redding. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about the rescheduling of marijuana, which didn't happen last week.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to, I'm 66 years old, and I'd like to address the drugs and marijuana more from just an economic standpoint, not making a case for it one way or the other. One, as far as general drugs in general, the war on drugs started when I was in the 60s, when I was in high school. And if you just look even at the government records, What's the result of this almost 40 years of this? There's probably more drug violence, more drugs available, more people taking drugs. I mean, everything that they didn't want to do has actually been increased. I mean, the drug war seems to have been inimical to the required results. The second point is just focusing on marijuana alone. When I was in high school, I went to high school in Orange County. An ounce of pot was probably about $10 in those days. I don't know what it is. I mean, what it is now, at times it's $400 or more. So the price has dramatically gone up. It's become a great business. And I think one of the problems is that there's actually a symbiotic effect between drug growers and the drug enforcement agencies and SINTEF and whatever. In other words, because it's illegal, it keeps the price high, which is a benefit to the people that manufacture the illegal drugs. And because it's illegal, it creates a lot of jobs for people that are strictly in the Drug Enforcement Agency. I'm not saying it was by design, but that's a result. Both the drug enforcement people that are employed by it and the growers have an interest in staying the same, because it keeps the money flowing to each of them. So that's my point. Thanks very much.
All right, Pete, thanks for that. Appreciate it. So the idea being that it's something of an arms race, and it benefits the arms makers, in a sense, the people involved in keeping the prices high, and helps them out that way. Pete, thanks for the thoughts on that. Appreciate it. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're taking your input on marijuana once again, because last week the Drug Enforcement Administration chose not to remove marijuana from the list of Schedule I narcotics, indicating the most dangerous and least helpful for humans. Cocaine, for example, is on Schedule II because that still has medicinal use. And so DEA chose to keep things right as they are and got a lot of feedback and static for it, some of which you're hearing here today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amy in the Illinois Valley said that if the government doesn't think cannabis has any medical value, then why do they hold a patent for uses on it? Hypocrisy?
Well, and then a quick fact check on that reveals that a patent for cannabinoids as antioxidants and neuroprotectants has been assigned to the United States Department of Health and Human Services since 2003. Three researchers for the National Institute of Health are listed as inventors. The patent's abstract summary says cannabinoids are, in their words, useful in the treatment and prophylaxis of a wide variety of oxidation-associated diseases such as ischemic, age-related, inflammatory, and autoimmune diseases. That's the end of the quote. The patent application singles out stroke and trauma and the treatment of neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's and HIV and dementia. Half of U.S. states have legal medical marijuana, with a few more having cannabinoid-only laws.
And not all of the users are breaking the rules. Deborah in Reading wrote in to us on our survey available at jeffexchange.org or on our Facebook page. Deborah wrote that she uses weed for pain and muscle spasms, but can't smoke in the HUD-subsidized senior apartments where she lives. Deborah says, I worked hard, went to college, always into sports, exercise, yoga, hiking, and weed intensifies her experience. So do you use pot as medicine? Do you use it just for fun? That's legal in Oregon now. Could be legal soon in California. That'll be on the ballot this November. We want to hear from you about your views on this issue. Have you seen pot backfire as medicine and lead to addiction or dependency? Some of the groups we see who are coming out against legalized recreational marijuana are addiction groups of doctors for addiction medicine. So tell us your story and where you stand. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
Let's take a call. Here's Brad in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, thanks for taking on this important topic. I have plants growing in my yard, and I love it that in Oregon we have finally achieved the status of being able to grow it and use it ourselves and to give it as long as we're not involved in economic exchange. And there'd be so much of it grown when people are allowed to do that that it undercuts all the black market crap that comes around, all the troubles. I notice in listening to your comments from your people is that people that largely that don't know it are allowed to get away with radical fears, people running over babies and so forth. This is ridiculous. This is a plant that's 5,000 years old. It goes way back in our human story, and it's beneficial. And as it becomes more acceptable in society, it will be good for society. We will have a renaissance of people enjoying themselves, enjoying nature, enjoying music, enjoying each other. All these hyperbolic scare stories are kind of silly. And so I'm happy that I live in a state where we can explore that. And I'm really sorry for this throwback of our government acting like still like a witch hunt towards a plant that got illegalized because they want to undo hemp back in the 20s.
All right, Brad, thanks for the thoughts on that. You know, he actually jogged a memory here because I remembered Mrs. Blumenthal's class in the fifth grade at Gardner's Avenue Elementary in Levittown, New York. She made us cross out a line about marijuana where it said not a hallucinogen.
Mm.
She said, not a hallucinogen? You fly out the window. How is that not a hallucinogen? Cross that out. We did. It was this weekly reader guide to drugs that we'd been given in fifth grade.
Right. I remember attending DARE classes, a different generation here, but having police officers come and sort of lecture you about the perils of marijuana and being deathly afraid of it. Actually, I grew up in Texas, so the normalization in the culture in Oregon of medical marijuana and recreational marijuana is certainly a culture shock to me. Let's take another call. Dave in Central Point, you're on the air.
Hello. I'd like to comment on the people that were talking about your survey. They had said that the illegal growing of weed has all this problem, which it does. And if it is legalized, then they will not have the monetary, you know, reward to do things like that. You'll see that those guys will absolutely go away. And number two, the people that are against legalization, you need to look at that. The prison industry, which is for profit for the most part, and, you know, the guards, the police unions, they see this as, you know, a cash cow. And, you know, people getting arrested for marijuana is just ridiculous. And just like the previous caller said, the hyperbolic, you know, you don't run over your kids. You don't leave your kids out in a hot, you know, people do that without smoking weed. But if you look at the data from Colorado and Washington, you find out that crime has gone down. There are not as many wrecks or, you know, traffic accidents because of marijuana. So Google your friend. You know, look at facts before you start screaming about things.
Okay, Dave, thanks for that. Appreciate it.
And we, of course, don't have those figures at our fingertips, Dave, about crime rates. We do have some figures here looking at imprisonment for marijuana crimes. Jonathan Rothwell, writing for the Brookings Institution in November 2015, pointed out that about a fifth of people in state and federal prison went there on drug offenses, so quite a lot of folks. And more people went to prison for drug crimes in a shorter period of time than for people with violent crimes. So lots of people going to prison, but getting out sooner than for violent crimes.
So in other words, when you look at state and federal prison admissions by offense type, drug crimes are up the list, but because the sentences are shorter, and this is what the Brookings Institution report called stock versus flow, the stock of people in prisons is greatly more about people serving time for violent crimes, close to 50%, where about a fifth, 20%, are people serving time for drug crimes. So the idea that the prisons are bursting with people on marijuana possession charges, not true as we continue to pursue that. Let's see. We have a call from, let's go to Skeeter and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hiya. Thanks for a great program. It's totally normal for human beings to get intoxicated, you know, hopefully to a moderate degree. And when I grew up as a teenager, I was a Navy brat. I was surrounded by alcoholics. The Navy culture was just full of them, including my parents and relatives. And I got into drinking myself as a teenager. And then in 1968, I discovered pot. And as a consequence of finding that as an intoxicant to a moderate degree every day, but I'm functional and I've had a successful life, I don't drink as much alcohol. And my parents suffered from it. My relatives suffered from it. My son, unfortunately, died from an alcohol overdose 6 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I tried to get him to smoke weed, but that wasn't his drug of choice. And the person who talked about children being around parents who are smoking pot, hello, pot smokers that I know are gentle, caring, careful people. I grew up around alcoholics, and it was a scary time. So I think it's an easy choice. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Skeeter. Appreciate that. A couple of final thoughts here. Let's see. Jay Randy in Cresswell wrote to our survey. He says, beats the hell out of alcohol, and I think it's great for society as a whole because everyone is getting very aggressive. He singles out caffeine and coffee as a reason and marijuana as a balancing force.
Interesting from Jay Randy there in Cresswell. We also got this one from Richard in Eureka. Richard says he never really smoked pot in college or as a young man. Family, career, and other preoccupations took precedence, but now that he's older, he smokes vapes a little bit every night. He wrote this to us. I had to laugh when I saw a picture on the internet of a woman my age holding a sign at a demonstration that read, I don't use drugs. I just smoke pot.
All right,
the DEA would disagree.
Absolutely. So a lot of responses on this Vince Day survey. Not a big surprise. And we'll have another round of Vince Day next week.
I'm Emily Curitan.
I'm Jeffrey Riley. That's the first hour of the Jefferson Exchange. More coming up.